welcome, and Terry. And I'm going to start by reading 1 Peter 5:6-11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and sober of mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith,
because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of
sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, my prayer tonight is that you would meet every one of us where we are. Speak to us what we need to hear. And help us, Lord, to live into the story that you're telling in us. Amen. So we're in this Lent series called Living Ink. And last week, John introduced that theme and the idea that we're all co-authors in a story that God is telling in our lives. And he encouraged us last week to sort of let go of trying to wrestle control and submit to that story of God. Tonight, I want to talk a little bit about another author who would love to tell a very different story. The idea of letting go sounds kind of passive until you realize that this other author is fighting like mad to drag you into a story of destruction and despair and meaninglessness. This other author wants to have the last word. But we have some say-so, and the words we choose and the actions we take matter a lot. So some of you know that I used to work at Woodland Hills, and when I was there, I had the opportunity several times to share my story or share my testimony. And I had a way of telling my story that had become kind of a habit. When I thought about my life, certain things stood out to me. A lot of the hard stuff stood out to me. And these were the things that I tended to highlight. Then on one occasion when somebody asked me to share my testimony, something occurred to me. I realized that how I told my story and the way I spoke about my life was a choice I was making, and that these choices made a difference in the faithfulness of my words. So I began to tell a different story that helped me to live into the intentions God had for me. I realized on that day that I knew it before this, but somehow on that day I realized I had an enemy that had been really active in my life for as long as I could remember. And just as God was active and had intentions for my life, this enemy had intentions for my life too. More than anything, he wanted me to give up. He wanted me to notice all the places in my story where I was hurt and alone and desperate, and he wanted me to put a period at the end of those moments. He wanted the story to end there. This enemy loves to leave us in those places, broken and defeated. He loves to leave us shriveled up and afraid and post-traumatic from our losses and grief. And it's understandable to feel those things when hard things come in your life. But it's so important that we don't allow those feelings or the enemy to have the last word. And here's a really tricky part. In some sense, we are helpless by ourselves to pick ourselves up from those places. When we talk about this idea of co-authoring our lives with God, it's easy to make the mistake that it's sort of this belief that we have the power to simply, you know, just lift ourselves up. Because, you know, as Americans, we love this myth of self-reliance. We love to think, okay, we're co-authoring with God, and so if I just try hard enough, I just do the right things, I just think the right way, then I'm going to be able to move past this. But this story that we're writing is a collaborative story. And we need one another to write the truth. The story that God is writing and that this enemy is fighting to edit will take all of us to write well. In some sense, there's no such thing as my story. There's just our story. And I wonder, what are we going to say together to a world that's hungry for stories of redemption? When I think about the last year, it's a constant battle for me to notice the activity of God. I'm going to confess some things to you right now. I am really prone to negativity and pessimism. It's the sin I struggle with the most. So if you ask me to tell the story of this last year to you, here's a story that I'm tempted to tell you. I'm tempted to tell you about the fear and uncertainty of Seth leaving our community and the loneliness of that time. I'm tempted to tell you how the most intense point of that transition came at a time when Dave's mother was dying and we were both really sick for a long time. And we were working to renovate our upstairs apartment for the McCoy family to move in, and that it drained our finances and emotions and every bit of our energy. I'm tempted to tell you about the grief I experienced when the people that I loved the most left our community. I'm tempted to tell you about how unsure I felt about my own ability to lead Third Way or help lead Third Way and the level of fear and despair that overwhelmed me at times. I'm tempted to tell you that when Dave's sister Judy fell ill and died in our home last week, it was the last straw. I'm tempted to tell you that I'm done and I can't do this anymore. I'm tempted to tell you that I wonder sometimes if God is real. And nothing I've said so far is exactly untrue, but it's a temptation nonetheless, because there's something so much truer than that story. When I spoke at Judy's funeral last week, I talked about a Celtic term for the places where the distances between heaven and earth collapse. They call them thin places. And the truth is, the real story is, this last year of struggle and loss and grief and uncertainty has been a thin place in my life. And I owe that reality not only to the God who faithfully showed up for me, even when I doubted that he was real, but I also owe it to all of you. And the way that you showed up and loved me and loved one another. So here's the truer story of the last year. When Seth left our community, I was astounded at the ways God showed up to sustain us. Every time things felt impossible, God showed up and made a way for things to happen. Every time I was sure I was empty and had nothing to give, God gave me what I needed to keep going. And he did this in concrete ways. Bringing people to laugh and cry with me, and to share the burdens I was facing. So many of you showed up when I needed help the most. And when the people I loved left our community, I looked around and I found that I loved you too. And not just a sanitized, obligatory kind of love, but the kind of love that makes you weep with gratitude. The truer story is that when I doubted myself most, God was faithful to give me words and directions and reassurance that he could use the little bit that I had to give him and do something with that. I shared this part of the story with people at the funeral last week, and I'll say it again. When Judy came to our house to live and die with us last week, I was so privileged to see my home become a thin place in the world. I saw Jesus bringing me meals and hospital equipment and everything else that I needed. I saw Jesus sharing stories and joking with Judy and giving her little sips of juice. I saw Jesus show up with a guitar, and I heard him singing to her. I snapped a photo of Jesus holding her hand. I saw Jesus making Judy comfortable in bed and stroking her hair and whispering into her ear as she died. And then I saw Jesus show up in the friends who came to grieve with us and help us prepare for her funeral. The true story is that I'm really lucky. The enemy would love for me to tell you that first story of despair and darkness. But that's not the truer story. The truer story is that I'm so privileged to be living in a thin place with all of you. And you can always spot the stories that God is telling. They always end with redemption and resurrection and forgiveness and hope. When Jesus came to live among us and died for us and rose again, his story became our story. That's what we own. And this last year, it has been a story of redemption and stubborn hope. And I want to thank all of you for helping me to tell it well. So I want to take a few minutes, and together I want us to meditate on the story you find yourself in today. So think about that. Think about and meditate on, what is the story that you find yourself in? What is the story God seems to be writing? And where are the temptations from the enemy to write a different story? What can you do to lean into the story God is inviting you to? And think for a moment about the video we just saw. And ask yourself, what do you want to be your defining moments as you look back on your life and your last day? And now I'm going to leave you with a blessing poem from Jan Richardson, because I seem to be unable to speak to you without doing that. It's called "Blessed Are You Who Bear the Light." I want you to hear this as me blessing you, because I see all of us as people who bear the light. Blessed are you who bear the light in unbearable times, who testify to its endurance amid the unendurable, who bear witness to its persistence when everything seems in shadow and grief. Blessed are you in whom the light lives, the brightness blazes, your heart a chapel, an altar where in the deepest night can be seen the fire that shines forth in you in unaccountable hope, stubborn faith, in love that illumines every broken thing that it finds.